Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. If you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer, make sure you email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. We don't have Cody today, but I did a crossover preview podcast with my buddy Jay King, who is the Celtics beat writer for MassLive.com. He's one of the co-hosts of Locked On Celtics, also on the Locked On Podcast Network. For longtime listeners of the show, he's been on the show a couple of times, like last offseason when the Jimmy Butler trade rumor stuff was going on, and then after a couple of these Bulls-Celtics games this season. He's a really good guy, and he knows the team really well. He knows basketball really well. You should follow him, and you should also check out Locked On Celtics for the Celtics' perspective on this series. Those guys do a great job over there. But Jay and I had a conversation about a lot of different elements of the series that lasts about 40 minutes or so. It's a little bit longer than our usual episodes, but we had a lot to kind of unpack with this series. We talked about some of the different matchups. We talked about whether Rondo still has that extra gear in him. We talked about, you know, how competitive the series might be, or and we talked about some general playoff stuff too. It's a good conversation. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So this is a conversation with Jay King from Locked On Celtics and MassLive.com. So Jay, Bulls Celtics.
Bulls Celtics, man. Finally, the playoffs are here. The last week of the regular season just bugs me. Everybody's sitting guys. It's like the biggest games of the year for a lot of teams, and the opponent is starting like a guy who should be in the D League.
Dude, so the Nets last night, the Nets, who by the way had clinched the worst record in the league for a pick that actually belongs to you guys, not even their own pick, so they don't even have any incentive to tank. Last night the Nets sat Jeremy Lin, Brooke Lopez, and Trevor Booker, which, first of all, the fact that Trevor Booker is a guy that you have to sit to make yourselves worse is, you know, says something about your roster. But like, they were playing a bunch of dudes, and it was, and we asked Kenny Atkinson about it before the game, and he was like, yeah, you know, we want to go into the season healthy, we want to do what's best for the, and it's like, oh, come on, dude, like really? and I was like, I get it, like I understand, like if Brooke Lopez is like your one really good player and asset, you want to keep him healthy in case you want to trade him over the summer if you're the Nets, but like that was one of, and Cody and I talked about this on our show last night, but that was one of the most unwatchable basketball games I've ever covered.
Yeah, that final
yours was competitive, at least for a while.
Yeah, the no-name Bucks played pretty well, but let's get started talking about this playoff series, because yeah. Even though it's 1-8, it should be a pretty competitive one. You know, the Bulls have Jimmy Butler, one of the best players in the league.
They have the best player in the series.
They have played a lot better recently. What do you think is the biggest advantage for the Bulls in this series?
Well, I think they have the best player in the series in Jimmy Butler, which I think matters a lot in the playoffs. But I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, we're going to probably do our official picks later, but just to spoil it, I do think the Celtics are going to win the series because I think they're deeper and better coached and all that stuff. But the Bulls have the best player in the series. And you know that...
I hear that a lot. I've heard it about Paul George if he had played the Celtics. I've heard it now about Jimmy Butler. And I don't necessarily disagree, but to state that he's definitely the best player in this series, I think, is a slight to Isaiah Thomas. And I know Isaiah has his defensive issues, but offensively, he is dynamite. And he's the type of dynamite that you have to totally game plan against. And he frees everybody else. So I think I agree with you that Jimmy's the best player in the series, but I've heard that a lot, and I think people are discarding how damn good Isaiah is.
I'm not discarding at all how good Isaiah is. It's for me, it's more Jimmy has, you know, has, I mean, maybe he's not as dangerous of a scorer as Isaiah is, but he can. He's a pretty damn good scorer, and he also will guard the other team's best player.
Like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the Jimmy Butler Isaiah Thomas matchup when the Celtics have the ball.
Well, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen in the fourth quarter because I think it's gonna be one of those situations where maybe they'll put, like, I don't know, Paul Zipser or somebody on Isaiah for the first three quarters to conserve Jimmy's energy, let him, you know, get his offense going in the first three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, if Isaiah starts to heat up, that's when they'll probably put Jimmy on him.
Yeah, the Bulls used that earlier this season a bit, and Butler did a really good job.
He did, yeah, he's up to the job of guarding those guys is the thing, and so it's going to be. But then on the other side, the Celtics have, you know, whether it's Jay Crowder or Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley, they have guys who can stick with Jimmy too.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of people have tweeted about the Bulls' offensive rebounding, and obviously for the season they've had a good offensive rebounding team. They haven't been the same since trading Taj Gibson. Do you think their physicality in the front court will be a big advantage against Boston, or is that kind of gone after they traded Gibson away?
I think that trading Taj is a big part, because he was a guy who always killed the Celtics, and he was a guy who would always just bully their bigs. They don't have anybody who can rebound with him. They still have Robin Lopez, who's a very good rebounder and a very good offensive rebounder, but, you know, not having Gibson, you kind of saw the difference, and I don't want to say that just not having Taj Gibson is the only reason that that last game between the Bulls and the Celtics was so ugly, but, you know, it was a big difference, because the first three times they played, I know the Celtics won one of those, but all three of those first games, opening night, the one early in the season that the Celtics won, and then the TNT one with the weird Marcus Smart phantom foul thing, but, like, those three games, Taj killed them on the boards, and he has done that consistently over the years, and he's gone now. I think that's an advantage for the Celtics. I still think the Bulls have the advantage when it comes to rebounding, but it's not as pronounced as it was when Taj was here.
Yeah, I think earlier in the season, like I think they played the second game of the season for Boston, mm-hmm. and Chicago's physicality was just a huge issue. And I do think that midseason trade diminished the Bulls. Now,
You think trading Taj Gibson for three guys who currently aren't even in the rotation, you think that was a bad trade for the Bulls?
Yes. It's not exactly the hottest take. For Celtics fans, like, I think a lot of Celtics fans are probably shocked that the Bulls rebounded to make the playoffs, considering how lifeless they looked in Boston. That was maybe the most lifeless performance I saw this season in person. Like, they just did not look at all interested in playing basketball.
The Bulls have kind of just vacillated between these two extremes. There are nights, like, you know, the two times they beat the Celtics, or any of the four times they beat the Cavs, or the time they beat the Warriors, or any of the times they beat any of these good teams, where they look like they can contend with anybody on any night. And then there are nights like that one in Boston last month, or they had a game against the Sixers around that time where they just got completely run off the floor and the Sixers scored 70 points in the paint. The Bulls either look like they're world beaters or they look like the worst team in the league. There's really not a lot of in-between with them.
But they've been better lately. What do you think has changed since that period of time when I think they lost like five or six straight games?
Yeah.
And the rotation was in shambles. What has changed for them since then that's kind of allowed them to resettle themselves?
A couple of things, actually, Jay. So these things might kind of go hand in hand. One of them was, so there was a big controversy in that last game in Boston because Nikola Mirotic, who had been DNP's coach's decision for the last couple of games before that, in that Celtics game, not only was he DNP, he was inactive. They put him on the inactive list in favor of Isaiah Cannon, who still only played in garbage time in that blowout. But then the next game, they put Nico back in the rotation. He came off the bench, and he had a huge game, and that kind of kicked off a little hot streak for him. So when Nico gets going, especially, you know, they moved him into the starting lineup shortly after that, and, you know, having a guy, and maybe it's just the fact that it's the month of March, and Nico, for all three seasons he's been in the NBA, has just shot the lights out in March and been totally inconsistent every other month out of the year, but, you know, getting him hot and getting him confident and getting shots for him, like, I think that's helped. You know, you trade Taj Gibson and then Bobby Portis, you never know what you're going to get from him on any given night. So, you know, having Nico in there knocking down shots, that's a guy that the other team's big men have to go out to the perimeter and guard, and you have to at least respect his shot, even though you don't know how consistent it is. So Nico getting you know, getting his confidence back after falling in and out of the rotation over the year. That was one thing. The other thing was, and obviously Celtics fans are well aware of this, they moved Rondo back into the starting lineup. They had been starting Michael Carter-Williams for a while, Jaren Grant for a while. They moved Rondo back into the starting lineup, and he just starts, and this is around the same time that that Dwayne Wade goes out with the elbow injury, and I'm not somebody who thinks that the Bulls are better without Dwayne Wade, because I think that's kind of a lazy narrative, but Wade going out of the lineup and Rondo coming into the lineup at the same time, because then you're starting Rondo with Jimmy Lopez on the inside, and then Nico and Zipser, who are two guys that can hit an outside shot, and I mean, that just helped the spacing, and Rondo is always pushing the pace, and Rondo, I mean, for as weird as this season has been with Rondo, he's basically saved the season.
The rejuvenation of Rajon Rondo has been one of my favorite subplots of this season.
How excited are you for his revenge series against the Celtics in the playoffs?
It's funny because I want to see if he still has that playoff level, and I don't think he does. I don't think he has that. He certainly doesn't have that level he used to reach years and years.
Well, no, he has not. He is physically, he just has not been the same guy since the ACL injury back in 2013. I agree with that.
Yeah, but I am excited to see whether he can dial it up a notch, and I think he kind of has dialed it up a notch over the last month or so. And maybe he won't be able to take it any further, but the legend of playoff Rondo, and now Rondo playing against the Celtics in the playoff series, it's interesting. It's certainly interesting. I'm very curious to see what happens there. Now, obviously the Celtics are the one seed. I would say, and this is no slight to them, I would say they are the most vulnerable one seed in recent history. And again, that's no slight to them. Like, they won 53 games. They have Isaiah Thomas, who will probably be on the second team All-NBA.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, one of the NBA's best starting lineups. They have they're a really good team, but they're definitely not a great team. And when you think of one seeds, you think of teams that are probably going to reach the finals. I don't think anyone believes the Celtics are the favorites to reach the finals. I think Cleveland's number one. I think a lot of people, including myself, would put Toronto number two. But the Celtics got lucky. They will avoid both those guys through at least two rounds, thanks to a wild final week.
Do you have any idea, by the way, why the Cavs just completely punted on the one seed? They decided, like, at a certain point, they lost that game against Miami, and then they were just like, you know what, we're good. We don't even want to try to get the one seed.
Well, what happened was, I assume what happened was they looked at the growing minutes and said, what the, like, we can't keep playing LeBron 50 minutes right before the playoffs. And I think he played 46 or 47 in the overtime loss to the Hawks, and then they shut him down.
But I've just never seen a team just completely, you know, they're in position to get the one seed. If they don't blow that 26-point lead against the Hawks, they probably get the one seed. But then they're just like, nah, you know, we're good. We don't need the one seed.
F it, man. F it.
I still, and, you know, I agree with you as far as, you know, the Celtics are the one seed because the Cavs decided they didn't want to be the one seed. I still feel like until it actually happens, I'm not going to pick a team that doesn't have LeBron James over a team that has LeBron James in a playoff series in the East. So I still don't really see a lot of ways that the Cavs don't get to the finals.
Yeah, okay. So what percent chance – I hate this question. First of all, let me state, I hate this question. But it's an interesting way to open up how strongly you get – what type of chance you give the Bulls in the series. What percent odds do you think they have of upsetting the Celtics in round one?
I don't know, like 30% maybe. I would still absolutely pick the Celtics to win this series, but I think this is the best out of the teams that they, you know, I know the Bulls beat the Cavs four times in the regular season, but you still, given the choice between playing LeBron in the first round and not playing LeBron in the first round, you'll always take not playing LeBron. And, you know, once Toronto wasn't a possibility because of seeding, you know, they've matched up pretty well with the Celtics. They split the season series, but one of the two losses that they had, the one in November in Boston, that game was competitive. But So, like, I Jimmy Butler has gone off against the Celtics before, and, you know, they have the advantage with offensive rebound. Again, I still think the Celtics are the better team. I think the Celtics are going to win the series, but I think this series is going to go six games. I don't think it's going to be a sweep or a one-sided series by any means.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think the Bulls, I mean, at the very least, they're a competitive team.
They're, yes.
They're not a particularly good team.
No, they're not.
Certainly not a great team, but they're a competitive team, and they're physically tough. They have a lot of veterans who have played in big games before who won't be deterred by whatever they get hit with. And that, to me, it's another interesting part of this series is the Celtics are the number one seed. They're the 53-game winners. They're the team that really is a pretty big favorite. And they've never won a playoff series before.
They haven't won. Like, the franchise has not won a playoff series since Garnett and Pierce were there.
Yeah, and it's just so they have to learn how to win a playoff series. And I do think that teams need to learn how to win playoff series. It's like there's a process to succeeding in playoff basketball that is not the same as it is during the regular season. And I do think that the Celtics are a significantly better team. I think their quickness advantage will be very big and carry them to not an easy series, but I do think they'll handle the Chicago Bulls. But at the same time, it's like in those moments, Rondo he's been steeled by years and years of deep playoff runs. Dwayne Wade, same thing. You know, like the Bulls have a lot of playoff experience. And
Jimmy Butler's gone toe to toe with LeBron in the playoffs before.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that'll matter. And I don't think it'll matter too much because I do think the Celtics have a significant edge in a lot of ways, especially the biggest one is shooting. Although the Bulls have shot the ball a lot better recently. Is that just because of rotation changes? Is that like fluky stuff like Rondo suddenly hitting shots? What do you think has caused their uptick in three-pointers made? I think they're like 37.5% since the All-Star break, something like that.
Yeah, I think part of it, and I just talked about this, was the Dwayne Wade going out, and then you suddenly have to put two shooters around Jimmy.
Are they worse with Dwayne Wade playing?
I don't think so because I mean here's the thing, it's not like Dwayne Wade didn't play and then one of the Bulls' young guys is so good that now you have to think about, you know, bringing Wade up. Like it's not like Paul,
I mean,
it's not like Paul Zipser.
Zipser fever.
People who listen to Locked On Bulls know that I'm as in on Paul Zipser as anybody. But even I, come on, like if you're who are you gonna play in the playoffs, Dwayne Wade or Paul Zipser? Who would you rather have out on the court? Like, come on. But it's not like Paul Zipser was so good that now Wade comes back and is like, ugh, should they put him back in or Denzel? I'm actually a little bit concerned about Wade in this series, not because I think that the Bulls are a worse team with him on the court, but just because he just missed 3 weeks with the elbow injury, and he's looked like he's kind of out of shape. He's played three games. He played the last three games of the season since coming back from the injury, and he hasn't looked great, and I think part of that is just him getting his wind back, and they're going to have a few days off here, so maybe he'll be ready by then. And certainly Wade was phenomenal in the playoffs last year with Miami, so you know that he's a guy that, especially considering how he kind of picked his spots during the regular season, he's a guy that has been in this situation before, and he's saving it for now, and maybe he will be able to dial it up, but he has not looked great since he's come back from the injury, so I'm a little bit concerned about that.
Gotcha. Dwayne Wade, man, he did have a hell of a playoffs last year. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just started hitting threes. It was like suddenly, and then didn't he like start screaming at some dude in the front row?
Yeah.
In Charlotte, that was hilarious too. Some maniac in the front row.
So I just looked up what Rajon Rondo's 3-point percentage is post the All-Star break. You want to guess what it is?
48%.
A little bit lower, 46.3%, which is still absurd. He was shooting 31.6% before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that's at least slightly fluky. There will be
just a
regression to the mean.
just a little bit. I'm gonna go ahead and say that's not sustainable. But it's just one of those funny things. But you know, legitimately, Rondo has been pretty good since he kind of got back in there. There was that weird period, you know, at the beginning of January where he was out of the rotation entirely for five games, and then he gets back in and he kind of takes on that second unit role, and then Jaren Grant and MCW are both so bad that they kind of have to put him back in the starting lineup, and he's actually been pretty good.
Okay, so seven-game series, what do you think is Chicago's biggest weakness, and especially against these Celtics?
Shooting.
Yeah.
I think, and especially because, I mean, The Celtics have such good perimeter defenders in the first place, you know, guys like Crowder and Smart and Bradley. They have guys that for a team that has good shooters, those guys are going to give them problems. The Bulls' best shooter is probably like Nico Mirić, who's inconsistent, Denzel Valentine, who's not even in the rotation as of now. Like, they don't have anybody that you can say, I mean, because if those Celtics perimeter defenders are going against like the Warriors, you can say, well, their perimeter defense is really good, but it's like, oh, they have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Those guys are going to be able to knock down shots anyway. The Bulls don't have shooters that you can are confident enough can say are going to overcome, you know, how good Boston's perimeter defense is. So I'm not very confident in their ability to make outside shots. That I would say is the biggest thing. What do you think Celtics' biggest weakness is?
I would probably still say rebounding,
sure.
Even though their defensive rebounding has been actually better than average since the All-Star break, which is crazy because for a long time they were historically bad at defensive rebounding, like woefully, horrendously bad. But they've really picked that up recently. They've actually done a decent job. That's still one of their biggest issues. I don't know if this Chicago team anymore can do too much to exploit it. But they just don't have too much size. Like, from Isaiah Thomas to Avery Bradley, and when they go to their bench sometimes, even in their front court, like Amir Johnson, Al Horford, those guys aren't that physical. So there's just a lack of physicality and size across their roster. And then the bench, you don't necessarily know what you're getting from the Celtics bench. Or maybe you do know what you're getting, and it's not very good. When Isaiah Thomas has been off the court lately, the Celtics offense has not been good at all. Now, one thing that has happened recently is Brad Stevens has generally given Terry Rozier DMP CDs, and Rozier's shooting percentage is like 36%. He hasn't hit threes. And when you have him and Marcus Smart on the court, like, they make the Bulls look like sharpshooters. So I think moving Rozier to out of the rotation might help stabilize that bench, and playing more starters with the bench units with the playoffs, and I think you give your best players more minutes. So I don't think the bench will be quite as big a weakness maybe as it was during the regular season. But the Celtics, they haven't blown anybody out this whole season because they can't sustain good play. And their starting lineup has been really good. When Isaiah Thomas is on the court, they roll people offensively. But some of their bench units just haven't been good. And I think that's where they have to be better. And that's where Stevens has to figure out some sort of rotation in the playoffs that can help stabilize them when Thomas is off the court. Because that has been a major issue lately.
So you want to talk about unstable rotations. The Bulls, I think, have finally figured out what their nine-man playoff rotation is going to be, and it only took until game 82 for it to happen.
Okay, so who are the four guys off the bench?
I think Jaren Grant is going to be the backup point guard, which I think is the right decision because Michael Carter-Williams has just been terrible.
Although, who knows, because their point guard situation has been so fluid.
It's not good. And by the way, the other day, they lost the game to Brooklyn on Saturday. You know who scored the last 9 points for the Nets? Or seven of the last 9 points, rather.
Who's that?
Spencer Dinwiddie, who they cut during training camp. to sign Celtics legend R.J. Hunter, who played 9 total minutes of garbage time before he got cut.
Shout out to R.J., great guy.
R.J.'s a really good guy. I wish he was like good at basketball, because I like talking to him. But like, but so like, yeah, the Bulls point guard situation. So Jaren Grant is going to be the backup point guard, and then Paul Zipser is going to be the other wing off the bench, and he's like. Like again, I'm obviously really like him, and part of that is just, you know, getting into like the Twitter meme stuff or whatever. But I actually think that down the line he's going to be a solid, you know, 3-and-D rotation player, not necessarily a starter. But he's had his moments this year. He had 21 points last night against the Nets scrubs. He's capable of knocking down open threes. He's not a great defender, but he can stay in front of guys. He doesn't really make a lot of obvious mistakes like a lot of rookies do. So. He's going to be the other wing off the bench. Bobby Portis is going to be the backup power forward, and you have no idea what you're getting out of him night to night. And then finally back, you know, back in the backup center spot, he was playing Joffrey Laverne for a while, which I didn't really understand. But Cristiano Felicio is going to be the backup center, so that's going to be the nine.
Okay, so one question I have, and I haven't started to look into the Bulls too much. I haven't looked at too much tape yet. What if and when the Celtics go small? How have the Bulls been at handling other teams' small lineups?
Well, it was a lot easier when they had Taj Gibson that they could put at the five, yeah. who can defend. You know, they're in some of these lineups, they're going to be kind of forced to put Bobby Portis at the five and maybe even play Jimmy Butler at the four, which has some weird lineups. They're not really equipped for it, and that's something I think the Celtics are really dangerous in also. So what is the Celtics' 8 or 9 man rotation? Because you were just talking about Terry Rozier being out of it. So who are their nine?
They'll bring Marcus Smart off the bench, Jaylen Brown, Jonas Jerebko, Kelly Olynyk, and maybe Tyler Zeller, depending on matchups. Obviously, the Bulls are pretty big, so Zeller might get some time, or they might just want to spread out the Bulls and put as much skill as possible out there and see if they can take advantage of some of Chicago's bigger guys. I do think, as I look at things, the small lineup for Boston might be their biggest advantage. And it's funny because their small lineup with Jay Crowder at power forward for a long time this year, it was bad. Like it was really, really bad. But since the All-Star break, with their lineup with probably their best five players, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and Al Horford, has been a killer. And that is, again, that is a huge, huge change. It was like startlingly bad over the first half of the season, and then just became an awesome small lineup after that. I think Brad Stevens has been a lot more picky about where he plays those guys, and that's helped. But when I look at the series, the way to beat Chicago is to put skill out there and take advantage of their slower bigs, because Mirotić isn't a quick guy. Robin Lopez, obviously he's a good defender, but a little slower than
he's kind of a traditional big.
Exactly. And then even off the bench, Felicio, you got like he can move his feet a little bit, but the way I see it, like, spread them out, put shooters on the floor and try to beat them that way. So when I look at it, I feel like that's the way Brad Stevens will go, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think Chicago has like the wing depth to play small lineups as much as the Celtics do.
You think that the team whose third wing it basically is Denzel Valentine or Paul Zipser doesn't have the wing depth to compete with the Celtics? That's another hot take from Jay King. I got a question for you, actually. Speaking of wing depth, how much are you expecting out of Jaylen Brown in this series? Because that's somebody that I'm really interested to see how he does, because he's had moments this year where he's just looked phenomenal. Like, he's a guy who doesn't really back down from a lot of defensive assignments, and he's like, I feel like this could go one or two ways for him. It could be like a coming out party for him, where you're like, wow, this guy is, you know, this guy is a real impact guy, kind of like that Jimmy Butler's rookie year, or not rookie year, his second year, when the Bulls were missing like everybody and they played the Heat in the second round and he had a really good series filling in for Luol Deng. Or it could be for Jaylen Brown, like, a moment where he just gets burned by Jimmy Butler and it's like, okay, he's not quite ready yet as a rookie. Like, what are you expecting out of him?
I think he'll be what he's been all season. He'll deliver some awesome highlights. He'll occasionally leave a three-point shooter wide open at the arc. He'll be up and down, but he'll look like he belongs. And I think that's like the story of Jaylen Brown's season, is even when he screws up and even when he doesn't play quite as well, that kid looks like he belongs. Like,
that's what I've, that, That's what I've been really impressed with him too. He never looked like, because there are so many rookies where you're just like, oh, he has no idea where to be. With Jaylen Brown, I feel like, you know, he'll blow a defensive rotation now and then, but he's a smart enough guy. Like he makes a mistake once and then he's like, okay, I'm not going to make this mistake again. And he doesn't look like he's overwhelmed by being out there.
Yeah, and I think the Celtics have Brad Stevens has the. His trust in Jaylen has grown as the season went on. Brown, he started like, I think, 19 games this season. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting recently is Brad Stevens said, you know, he's played a lot better when he's surrounded by good players. And like when he's with the best players on the Celtics, because he can just do what he does best right now, which is finishing. And he's become a decent spot up shooter. Then that's how he's maximized it. And when he gets out of his role a little bit, then things don't always go as well. But I do think he's a guy they think they can rely on for a solid amount of minutes. Jay Crowder recently was saying that they had to like sit Jaylen Brown down and try to have a conversation with him about like what the playoffs are going to be like. Like they were trying to prepare him for the playoffs. And meanwhile, these are guys that like still haven't advanced out of the first round.
Right, but they still, I mean, there are still guys on the team. I mean, Avery Bradley, he wasn't a huge player at the time, but he was on a lot of those, you know, those last couple of Garnett Pierce teams in the early 2010s, I guess, whatever you call the decade. Like Amir Johnson, before he signed with the Celtics, he was on a couple of those Raptors teams that were pretty good. Obviously,
and he was on the Pistons before that.
Yeah, and obviously,
he didn't play much.
Obviously, Al Horford has been pretty. He got to the conference finals with the Hawks. Like he's been in a bunch of playoff series. Like, they have guys on the team, and it's kind of the same dynamic as the Bulls, because the Bulls have obviously Dwayne Wade, who has multiple championships, Rajon Rondo, who's had a ton of deep playoff runs, and then Jimmy Butler, who's had some, he hasn't been to the playoffs a ton, but he's had some big playoff moments. Robin Lopez has playoff experience. Like, they have guys who have been there, and then a lot of guys who have never been anywhere close to the playoffs before, and this is going to be their first time. It's going to be kind of an adjustment period, and that's something that both Wade and Rondo were talking about last night, about like how they're excited for these young guys to get to experience it, and it's going to be a different dynamic because they're going to have to, like, after every game, they're going to have a couple days off to break down film and like look at, this is what the mistakes were, this is what to do differently. So it's kind of interesting. It's not quite as much of the same thing with Boston, because they have a few more veterans like that than the Bulls do, but it's sort of the same dynamic because like Jaylen Brown has obviously never been in the playoffs. Some of these other guys haven't really had a lot of playoff experience. So it's going to be kind of an interesting balance on both ends.
Yeah, I'm excited for this series, man. I'm excited for the playoffs. I'm ready for basketball to really matter again.
What's your favorite series that you're looking forward to besides this one? Like, as far as just which series you think will be fun to watch, because I've got one.
Clippers-Jazz.
Ooh, that's a good one. Although I'm kind of, obviously, like, you know, the Clippers are fun in the playoffs. Chris Paul's fun in the playoffs. I'm kind of just tired of watching the Clippers. I actually would pick Utah to win that series. I think I like Utah more than the Clippers.
I think Utah will win too, but Clippers have played really well lately. I love watching JJ Redick fly around screens. That's one of my favorite things is watching JJ Redick off ball. Like that guy must be in unreal shape, because he just runs and runs and runs and runs, and I would hate to guard that dude.
I have one upset pick for the first round.
Ooh, Hawks. I bet the Hawks.
No. Bucks-Raptors.
You think the Bucks are going to beat the Raptors?
I think it's possible. I think the Raptors are vulnerable, and I think the Bucks are like, I mean, Giannis, like, I think Giannis is gonna, you know, he's really made the leap this year. I like what he could bring. I think they got Middleton back. I feel like they figured some things out. I like that series. I think that series is gonna be more. I would probably, like, if you put a gun in my head, probably still pick the Raptors. But that series, I think, is gonna be more competitive than people realize.
I do like the Bucks, but I think the Raptors are damn good, man.
See, like, I actually like Washington the most out of any of the teams besides the Cavs in the East.
See, I'm not sold on Washington. I think their bench just has guys you can pick on.
Well, like, so obviously the series I'm the most looking forward to, just from watching it, I don't think it's going to be that competitive, but Harden-Westbrook is going to be amazing.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Portland to Golden State will actually be a pretty fun sweep too. Like, I think Dame will go off. I don't know.
That might be like 20-30 point blowouts.
Well, it will. It'll be 20-30 point blowouts, but like Dame and CJ might go for 40 each in all the games, like trying to keep them in it. Like that, I think it'll be fun. I didn't say it would be competitive, but I think it'll be fun. It'll be as fun as a blowout series can be.
Yeah, the one upset pick I might have is Atlanta over Washington.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that's one to watch. I think Atlanta, when they're fully healthy, they're pretty good. Like, they're not great, but they're pretty good. I don't think the Wizards. I don't think any team in the Eastern Conference is great, with the possible exception of Cleveland, if they do have a switch to flip.
Well, Cleveland has LeBron, so just by virtue of that, like, I still think they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I don't think anyone disagrees with you there. We'll see.
I'm actually as much as I'm sort of sick of watching the Pacers, just on an individual level, the LeBron-Paul George battle in the first round is going to be fun too.
Yeah, especially if the Cavs haven't really figured it out.
The Pacers might get one of those first two games and have people going, oh, is this going to be a series? And then the Cavs are just gonna be like, no.
I just don't think the Pacers are any good.
I'm really upset that the Heat didn't get in. I would have so much rather seen Heat Cavs or like the Dion Waiters revenge series, and like.
I would be all in on the Dion Waiters revenge series. By the way, before we leave, I got to talk about that Eric Spoelstra press conference.
Which one? I haven't seen this.
You gotta go look at
this
it.
End of season exit interviews.
So he steps up to the podium, and I guess he gives opening remarks before any reporter asks a question.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sits there. Obviously, they've just been eliminated from the playoffs, even though they won their last game, partly because the Nets and Hawks decided to sit players. And they've had this unbelievable run. You know, they've won 30 of their last 42 games after starting 11-30, and they've just completely shattered expectations for their roster, any reasonable expectations. And he sits there, and his head is just down, and he said something like, I have never wanted anything more than I've wanted to make the playoffs with this group. And it's a really powerful moment, and I think it speaks to how special that their run was, even though they didn't make the playoffs, even though they weren't a great team. Like, to go from 11-30 to win that many games is just incredible. It was an incredible run, and to do it with like
Okaro White and like
all the cast offs they had on their team.
They're like 90 leaguers on the team.
Yeah, just a mishmash of weird players like Hassan Whiteside, who played in Lebanon or whatever.
Rodney McGruder, just Blue Babbitt, somehow McGruder. Still getting it in. I think this is the year that like the average like casual NBA fan has finally realized how good of a coach Eric Spoelstra is, because like during the championship years, the people were all like, oh, well, you know, he has LeBron, he has Bosch, he has these stars, like that's why he's winning. And then they miss the playoffs the year after LeBron leaves, just barely, and so it's so people are like, oh, is it, you know, maybe Eric Spoelstra just needed all those stars in order to win. But then I think this year kind of puts that to best. I would probably vote for D'Antoni for coach of the year, but like Spoelstra's in that conversation. I don't think anybody at this point can deny how good of a coach he is.
Yeah, he's a great coach, and he's adapted every year, which is the sign of a great coach, I think. All right, let's end it there.
I'm sure we'll do more of these, because I'm going to be in Boston. You're going to be in Chicago. We're both going to be at everything. I'm sure we'll do a couple of these during the series in person.
Yep. Game one, Sunday, Easter Sunday. Everybody get excited. Get your Easter eggs, get your chocolate, get your candy, and sit down on the couch and watch maybe a good game. Jimmy Butler versus Isaiah Thomas.
I think this is going to be a competitive series. I don't think there are going to be any blowouts in this series. That's my prediction.
Before we leave, what's your prediction for the series?
Celtics in six.
Yeah, me too. We both got Celtics in six. I should have gone first, so then I didn't feel like like I was copying.
Well, no, but that's logical. Like these teams, like the Celtics, are the more talented team, but the Bulls are going to make it competitive. I think that's the logical pick for the series.
There you go, the logical pick for the series. Thanks for joining me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.